WNST, Towson of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the post-Preakness parade here. Congratulations to Bob Baffert and to everybody who survived Bruno Mars and the wet conditions on Saturday out at Hi-Ho Pimlico. You know, if you were at the races, you missed the Orioles like sweeping away the Blue Jays all weekend. Hell, you didn't have to be at the race Friday night. You just had to find them on television, which was impossible to do on Friday night. Luke Jones joins us now talking all things Oriole baseball. We're going to be at the local in Falston on Tuesday from 2 to 5. I've got some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs around here somewhere that I can hold up. I have my Window Nation hat. We'll be doing that 86690 Nation. I want to remind everybody, this is the end of 5 years 0% financing. At the end of the month, it goes away. So make sure you take advantage of that at Window Nation. And, of course, take advantage of these scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery 50th anniversary. We had a bunch of winners last week. Luke, how are you? I know you've been you're waiting for the Orioles to get back home. You're waiting for the Ravens to do their thing and OTAs and mandatories and all that. But this was an incredible weekend when you go on the road to another country, sweep a team in division, then off to New York. I mean, the Orioles are the aggressors now, right? Like, people are getting Lee's coming out to see them play.
You're absolutely right. And you just mentioned a sweep in Toronto. First time they've done that since 2005. Heard that at the end of Sunday's telecast. And
I might have been at that series. My wife and I were there in 4 and 5 like that. Yeah, it might have, like, that was 18 years ago.
It was. And I think back to that year, they got off to the great start that year and everyone's thinking, oh, wow, first time in what, 8 years, they have a chance to be back in the playoffs. Well, we know how the rest of that year went.
That was the Palmeiro year, right? They were really good that year, right?
Lee Mazzilli and that July and August from hell.
Lee Mazzilli. Did he really manage the Orioles? Do you have evidence of that?
Any photographic evidence? He did for parts of two seasons, right? So, an absolutely incredible weekend at Rogers Center for the Orioles. I mean, you start with Friday night, as you mentioned, the Apple TV special. Unfortunately, I was at a friend's house who had Apple TV. And
you were fortunate then. We were unfortunate.
But, you look at that. They get a four-run win there. Kyle Gibson pitches really well. Saturday, you're talking about being down three runs in the eighth inning and Ryan O'Hearn. Yeah, Ryan O'Hearn is up.
I had to Google Ryan O'Hearn. I'm not going to lie to you. I had to Google him.
Hits a game-tying three-run homer, and you go to extra innings. And look, I mean, we just said it. The Orioles hadn't swept a series in Toronto in a long, long time. And even during the Buck Showalter years where things were quite fruitful for the Orioles over that five-year stretch.
They had Edwin Encarnacion back then, right? I mean, they had some great players.
They did, and that was not a fun place to play typically for the Orioles, even when they were good. And we can all remember walk-off losses and obviously the 16 wild card game, but they win in extras on Saturday. You go into Sunday. You know there's going to be no Felix Bautista. You know there's no Yennier Cano. Brian Baker's most likely down. You're really going with your second tier of relievers. So what are you thinking? Better score some runs. Well, they score two runs through the first nine innings, and you're thinking, on paper, that does not sound like that's going to be a victory. And lo and behold, they win 8-3, and they get out of Toronto with the sweep, 15 games over 500. I mean, it's life is good if you're an Orioles fan right now. And, saw some social media rumors late Sunday night. Sounds like John Means is going to make his first start at extended spring training this week. So there's something to put in the back of your mind as far as this team potentially getting better as the year goes on. So exciting times, Nestor. A great weekend for the Orioles. And we talked about this going back to that Atlanta-Tampa Bay stretch where you just hold your own. Well, the Orioles did more than hold their own against the Blue Jays. They go into Toronto and get a sweep against what I still think is a very, very talented Blue Jays club. They're sputtering a little bit here of late, but a great, great series sweep for the Orioles. And life is good, especially on Sunday, as it was the one-year anniversary of Adley Rutschman's Major League debut.
I mean, let's go big picture here because they got a day off, two days off, really, before they play on Tuesday night. They're going to hang around New York for 48 hours. They're going to play some baseball this week. They're going to come home. I don't know whether people are filling up the bird bath or, what games, midweek games, kids out of school soon, when people start coming back. I had Marty Conway on. We talked about this. I've really had to think about this because I've been re-releasing the Peter Principles to show just how awful it was. And I don't know what they're doing down there other than the bird bath and some bobbleheads and things that they've done, right? And obviously the city is what the city is and its challenges, but we just had a weekend where the Preakness is here. I've talked at length. Luke, I got invited on Thursday night. And this was different during the plague, right? Because during the plague, there were no happy hours. There were no get-togethers. There were no people out. There was no baseball, right? I had trouble getting to an event on Thursday night. Like, there was massive traffic downtown at 5 o'clock on Thursday night to get to a 5 o'clock happy hour at the Center Club. I got invited. Steve Cirmino invited me down, meet a bunch of business people that were there in the Orioles nest room at the Center Club. Never knew there was such a thing. The Birds nest room. I took a picture in case they never invite me back. People were bitching about traffic. They're like, "Oh, I couldn't get here. Oh, the car." I'm thinking, I lived downtown for 20 years. I can't remember there was the last time there was a ballpark-related traffic fiasco. Now, it's Preakness Thursday, right? I mean, there's some people in. The hotels were full or whatever. But, like, we're having problems around Oriole traffic on a Thursday afternoon. I thought that that is such a beautiful problem to have because in the first 5 years I lived downtown, you couldn't go to Little Italy and think you were getting back at 5 o'clock because you couldn't traverse the city because the city is what it is. I mean, Pratt Street Lombards, they're not widening them. Nobody's taking the subway or the bus. Everybody's driving in. It feels vibrant again. And I'm every event I go to, and I went to three events on Thursday. I was at the Preakness all day Saturday. The Orioles are a topic of conversation. And I know, like, you're a little younger than me, and you'll hear the Buck era. They didn't win jack during the Buck era. So, like, fair enough. They had a year where they were really good. They had a couple other years where they sort of skirted around. The first time they got in, they weren't an effort in May. They didn't really become an effort till like August in the wild card year 14. So, or 12, excuse me. But at 14, I'll give it to you. But that, dude, by the time they got to 14, they had $20 million baseball players on the team. They had Davises and Joneses and Markakises, guys who had been paid. Like, this is the beginning of the beginning of the beginning. I don't even know where this goes when they're playing this well and you're flirting with John Means. They haven't traded for anybody. They haven't made any big moves other than the fact that they have drafted, being an awful team, they've drafted well. And whether it's Jackson Holliday, whether it's waiting on DL Hall, whether it's Grayson Rodriguez is here, but we got to get him organized, they're not winning because anybody, and you could say Mullins is having a great year or a great month or whatever, but they're not winning because of any supernatural occurrence here with players or spending money. They just have a bunch of really good young players. And I have no idea where the ceiling is for this. But I've been waiting 30 years on the radio to talk about. I mean, this isn't even the 96 and 97 Orioles where we were packing the place. Washington's giving money. They're buying 80% of the skyboxes, right? There's all sort of military money involved in there where they could just buy Roberto Alomar, buy BJ Cerhof, buy David Wells, buy Jimmy Key, pay Mike Mussina, keep Cal Ripken. Provide the drugs and the money for Brady Anderson. They could do anything they wanted to do then because they had money. Now this thing's a totally different organic experience, I think, for the fans who have watched Holiday play, who have gone to see Rutschman play down in Bowie. This is like the real deal, and it's May. Like, I'm looking forward to June, July, and August baseball around here in a way that I haven't during your lifetime, literally, and you're old.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll continue to push back on you underselling the Buck era. But where I will agree is when you just mentioned the word organic, where you mention how young this team is, where this feels so open-ended in terms of where this can go and how long this can last. Now, there are huge questions related to ownership that we'll continue to talk about. But when you're just looking about the young players
I'm glad
on
you
this
brought that
team,
up because I didn't even bring that up. I'm not ready to pee on them yet because I have no idea what they're going to.
sure.
I mean, I'm sort of assuming they John Angelos could screw this up. Yes, he could. I mean, it's possible. I have no idea.
And I'm not even trying to be pessimistic about that happening. I'm just saying that's all unknown until they spend money, until they go out and get a frontline starting pitcher at the trade deadline, which I think they'll have every opportunity to do something like that, whether it's this trade deadline, next trade deadline, the year
They
after that,
better.
whenever it
I don't
happens.
hear about
Right.
next year. I want to hear about this year.
Well, no, but
That's
because
how
this
I
is,
am about
but
this.
this
I
is a
mean,
bit, but this is a big picture thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not just this year. It's and that's part of the beauty of this, is my point is, it can be over the next 5 years, it can be over the next 10 years. It could be sustainable in the sense that you thought about the Orioles in the 60s, 70s into the early 80s. So that's
or
what's
like the
so
Ravens
exciting about
over the
this.
course of our lifetime, where they like try every year, even this
Sure.
year.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to avoid football, across sports. It's different
But when baseball
setup and all
goes
that,
away and
but
you stink, ask the people in Kansas City.
sure.
It just really goes away. When the Ravens stink, we talk about the draft next year and drafting another quarter. You know what I mean? Baseball's way, and we've stunk for so long that this feels really magical, be my word, like where I'm waiting for them to play and saying, but none of these guys are hitting over their weight. You could say Ryan O'Hearn at home run every night, there's a different star. But this isn't happening because of some accident or some lucky run for a couple of weeks. We're way past the point. These guys are really good. This isn't accidental. It really isn't.
They're really good. I will point out they're still winning a lot of really close games. They're relying on their bullpen a heck of a lot. And that was very evident over the weekend with what they did with Cano and Bautista and then what they had to do on Sunday. Austin Voth and Mike Bauman. And look, credit those guys. I'm not being dismissive of that, but I'll continue to look at the pitching, look at the starting pitching, how deep those guys are getting into the games or not getting as deep as they need to be. Understanding when you just play a ton of close games the way that they have. I mean, look at this series. I think what's kind of ironic about this is you played two extra inning games, yet they had a 4-run win on Friday night and they ended up having a 5-run win on Sunday. I mean, they haven't had many of those. That just speaks to how close the games have been. That's not to be dismissive of the fact that they're winning close games, but we also know that when you're having to play games like that, night in and night out, week in and week out, it can take a toll on the bullpen. So that's just something that I'll throw out there. I'll continue to say that. Doesn't mean that I think it's falling apart or anything like that, but it really is impressive to see what they've done in the month of May after we had talked about the fast start in April, while acknowledging, hey, it was kind of the soft underbelly of the schedule. I think even the most optimistic Orioles fans acknowledge that. And the thought was, can you at least hold your own? Well, they're doing better than that. I mean, now they're in a position where even if they were to get swept by the Yankees here in the Bronx over this 3-game set before they come home to host the Rangers in Cleveland, it's still a 3-3 road trip. So it just speaks to how great the weekend was. But it's really exciting. And you mentioned the point about fan interest, and I'm glad you brought up last Thursday, that day game against the Angels, which was a frustrating loss, a game where they had some opportunities and they came up short and had to settle for a 4-game split. But I noted this in my latest 12 Orioles thoughts going into the weekend, going into the Toronto series, that even though that was field trip day, and yes, the attendance was buoyed a little bit by the school kids and teachers being out there, they still had an announced attendance of 27,000 people at the ballpark for a Thursday afternoon game. And I get it, Ohtani and Trout, and there was definitely some juice for that with Ohtani pitching on Monday night. But that was the first real attendance figure of the year where I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, where I say, wow, there are a lot of people here for a Thursday afternoon game. It's what, a 12:35 start. And to your point, talking about the traffic after the fact and everything going on with it being Preakness weekend and all that, I mean, that was a pleasant surprise. And look, with attendance, this is not just like a light switch, right? It's not as though you go from empty ballparks to it being packed every night. I mean, it's not going to work that way. But I think you are starting to see more and more that dial, that interest dial, that enthusiasm dial really turning up.
Well, some of
And
these Nationals fans that have been Nationals people the last 15 years that live in the corridor,
yeah.
not if you live in Herndon, I get you, and you're all redded up and you got your Walgreens hat and you had your parade and all that's good. But if you want to see good baseball like this summer and maybe the next couple of years, the Orioles have a chance to, I don't say win back fans, but all those people have an Oriole hat in their closet. They all love Cal Ripken and Earl Weaver, whatever. If they're over the age of 40 or 45, your age, let's say, or older, they have some affinity for the Orioles that if the Orioles are in a pennant race, they'll come for a game or two in July or August. They'll come up and hopefully have a good experience. The experience of downtown is important. And I've talked so
Yeah.
much about this. It's what we do at Baltimore Positive when I'm not talking about the baseball team with you. It's fixing the city and lifting the city. And there's nothing, and Marty Conway and I went through this. Nothing can lift the city like 27,000 people just showing up in downtown on a Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning, really, when you consider what it is, and being left behind on a Thursday afternoon. So these are all really good sort of heartbeats about what the baseball team means to the community, which is why I led Free the Birds. By the way, Luke, you'll love this. I'm at the race all day, wearing my suit, seeing people. I'm out in the infield the whole day, doing my thing, walking around, ran into people. And it's late in the afternoon. I ran into Dick Girardi, took a picture, and it's all a big construction zone out in the infield there. It's a mess, right? So we're walking through this corridor, and a guy comes by me, and he yells, "Free the Birds, 508. He just keeps walking. He doesn't say anything. Like, this is late in the day. I think he might have been a little drunk. But he looked at me, and he just yells that at me. And I'm thinking, I said to my wife, I'm like, it was 17 years ago. Like, the fact that somebody would yell that at me, okay, good. Then they know there's been progress, because the reason I did that had nothing to do with Peter or the team. It had really had to do with the city and what's going to move the city forward. And this is where I've talked so much about the baseball team being not a catalyst. Talk about the symphony all you want. You talk about the harbor, this and that. The baseball team has traditionally for 30 years, the reason the stadium was built was to bring people to the city. And I feel like this is part of a blossoming that's happening for them. And watching them on TV leads you back, right? Like, and you can't find the game on Friday. I want to talk to you about that, because you're in Pennsylvania. Sometimes you can't get the games. I'm not blaming this on John Angelos. This is a global Major League Baseball issue. But when I'm not an old guy and my wife's not an old lady, we can't find the game on Friday night. That's a real problem for them, dude. It really is.
It is, but that's becoming more and more. That's across sports. I mean, we just found out the NFL is going to have a streaming exclusive playoff game. Oh, what, on Peacock? I mean, that just came. So,
I hope the Ravens honestly aren't that game.
Well, right. Well, they have to show it locally on local TV. I think that's, you know, that still would apply as far as what we always see.
But it was a bummer season when I couldn't watch the game on Friday night with my wife.
It is, but that's not going away, unfortunately. And again, that's not an Orioles only thing. That's not a baseball only thing. That's sports. I mean, none of these sports, you can't accuse any of these owners or any of these leagues of being concerned about access. I mean, everything is, you know, I mean, there's no shame now in terms of any of that. It's not an impossible task to set up a free trial and then cancel something. But yeah, it's a deterrent, especially when you're paying so much for your regional sports network.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, it's 7 o'clock on a Friday night. I've worked my ass off. I love the baseball team. I want to go. Why are you putting me through this? Like that, that's the feeling I had. I didn't watch the game. I'm not giving Apple my credit card. I'm not screwing around with that and having charges 2 months, 3 months from now. And like, I'm just not doing that. The last time I did this, and this is my crack on the Baltimore Sun, I gave them $1 for 6 months. And then I had to call the Philippines and take an hour and a half of my day to try to get rid of a subscription. So like, right, the Baltimore Sun has burned me, and I will continue on that. The Baltimore Sun burned me more than any company's ever burned me on getting rid of a credit card number. I don't do free trials. Middle finger up, double middle finger up to free trials for anybody, for anything. That's a 55-year-old guy who's had my credit card out in the cosmos. So it wouldn't matter whether it's a playoff game. They're not getting my credit card to watch a free trial. So that's where I stand as a citizen. I didn't watch the game, and that's unfortunate. And I wasn't the only one, because I would think they must cut their audience way more than in half, because I can't be among the only people that doesn't have Apple Plus and doesn't care to ever have Apple Plus. But I really wanted to watch the games. I was bummed.
Yeah, I hear you. And Major League Baseball would privately tell you, well,
I don't care.
That lost audience for that one night is made up by all the money that Apple's giving us for that Friday night game of the week situation.
They paid us, so you don't have to watch the game, right?
Exactly. Someone else paid us, so that night we're fine. So, and look, I'm not trying to defend. I'm just saying what reality is at this point.
But when the team gets in this sort of a place, and you really do want to watch them, it's effed up. I mean, it's awful. It's terrible.
It is. And I mean, look, it's a I will still say, fortunately, at least at this point, now that who knows how bad it could get in the future in this terms. And I saw a number of people even mention that if you are an international soccer fan, this is the kind of thing you deal with because there's so many different streaming options and games on this streaming network or games on this
I'm not
cable
giving my
network or
money to
whatever.
Hulu, Hoola, Paramount, Apple. I'm not giving my
You're gonna have to give it. You're
AOL,
gonna have to give it to somebody,
CompuServe.
though. You're gonna have to give it to somebody, though, because stuff is less and less is going to be on free broadcast TV. Unfortunately, I mean that's just where we are,
I'm
and
just saying
not
they
saying
should
I
be
like it, but
careful. They should be careful. That's all.
oh, that
They should
I've
be
been
careful.
saying that for years, no question about it. So what's going to be really fascinating is going to be once the regional sports network model goes kaput for good, as we see it today, and how. It's already in crisis in so many different places. Forget about Masson for a moment.
This is going to happen
Literally,
fast. This is,
bankrupt situations with what AT&T and Bally and all the different ones that are just kind of taking on water this year, just showing the games. But with that, it's going to be fascinating to see once they have to transition to a la carte streaming. However, that's going to look. And, I mentioned Apple TV. If you watch the game on Friday night, there was even mention of you can get MLS games. That's kind of their model now is Apple TV handles it. My brother-in-law is a Philadelphia Union fan and watches the games. And that model seems to be working for MLS, albeit it's a smaller scale than the other major professional sports, although MLS has grown quite a bit. But it'll be interesting to see once the other major sports are there, and we're not talking about your traditional regional sports networks in the same way anymore. It will be interesting to see if they'll try to keep as much of it together as possible, or will it become even more splintered where this package of games is on this, and this package of games is on this, and the Thursday games are on that, where it'll just become that much more of a headache. I hope it's not that case, but again, talking about major professional sports owners and excess and trying to bleed every dollar they can get out of people and every dollar they can get out of every TV network or streaming network. It is something that is on my mind, definitely from a big picture standpoint. But I was able to watch on Friday night. You made mention whether it's someone at home or how about if you're out somewhere going to a sports bar or something like that? Are they going to have Apple
I
TV?
thought the same thing. At
You know, I mean,
7:05, all I thought is I can't even go over to Nacho Mama's and watch.
right. I
Like
mean,
nobody's gonna, no bar's gonna pay Apple TV to put an Oreo game up. They're just gonna say to the customer, "Sorry, Mr. Angelos and Mr. Manfred has screwed you here. The game's not on tonight. Stream it
yeah, I
on your
mean,
phone and give them the $4.99 or whatever." Like, it's dumb. It's dumb. Whoever dreamed this up was not sitting in a house somewhere trying to watch the game on a Friday night.
well, and this is where I go back to owners of Major League Baseball specifically, but I think this applies to varying degrees across the different sports where decisions like this are made where I start to wonder, are you really a big fan of your sport and growing the sport and thinking about money and financial growth in that way? Or is it every dollar I can get right now, consequences
How
began
about
down the
do you
line?
just have a relative that wants to watch the game
Sure.
and will they feed, whether they're 18 or whether they're 88, and they just feed back to you that they want to watch the game? Like,
Right.
it's been hard enough with Masson 1, Masson 2, moving the Peacock game a couple of weeks ago happened on that Saturday afternoon. I had to
I
figure
mean,
that out.
yeah.
But
Yeah, I
they
mean,
played at 11 in the morning. Sorry. It wasn't even a when. It was, oh my God, it's 12:45 and it's the fifth inning. And how did I not know that, right? Like, this has all happened in 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, this has happened to a 55-year-old sports zealot who loves sports, who's just drifting away because they didn't let me watch the game Friday, Luke. They didn't let me.
Yeah, and I mean, but I'll also keep in mind there was a time where certain games wouldn't be on TV at all. I mean, there would be a handful, not many, but a handful that would not be
But
on.
that's not their model. Their model back in 05 was, we're going to beat the Nationals up. We're going to suck 250 million at them. Because we're going to have a television network. It's going to be the greatest television
Right.
network we've ever had. And we're going to have all the games. Well, once you make that promise for 2 decades, don't go taking my credit card and giving it to the Apple gods at 6:55 on Friday night so I can watch a game from Toronto. I mean, it's weak.
I hear you, but it's not going away. I'm just telling you that.
I hear Yankees. Let's get on to that because we're going to play them. They have been the Zod forever. This might be fun beating up the Yankees for a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could expect another three-game sweep like they did in Toronto, but they're going to see Gerrit Cole, they're going to see Nestor Cortez, and certainly going to be a challenge going to the Bronx. But I mean, it's hey, I think at this point in time, we need to stop thinking about the Orioles as this big-time underdog. And yeah, they're a young team. And look, let's be very clear, they're going to go through some rough patches. That's just the ebbs and flows of a baseball season, and they're going to go through some of that at some point. And inevitably, people will start to panic, and there will be a thought. And this happened when they lost the Atlanta series, right? And they lost the first game of the Tampa Bay series. They had lost three in a row for the first time all year. And look what they've done since then. All they've done is win since then, including against some tough competition. But they're going to go through some rough patches. But I think what is just so impressive with this team is they just bounce back. And even Sunday was such a great example of, you knew going into it, you were playing with at least one hand tied behind your back with the bullpen, if not one and a half, right? It might have been your arms are tied together and you're just kind of flailing with your one hand. That's really where they were. And yeah, they didn't score a lot of runs early, which is kind of what you thought the formula would be. Dean Kramer battled, gave up a lot of base runners, but was able to minimize the damage. And they just give themselves a chance every night. And that's all you can ask for over these next 3 nights in the Bronx against the Yankees. But I think what we're starting to see more and more in Toronto is the latest example of this, is that idea of even just going into last year, and certainly the few years before that, where teams would look at the Orioles and their schedule and say, well, that's two out of three at a minimum, or that's three out of four at a minimum, and we'll get right here, and we'll probably be able to rest our best bullpen arms, and we'll have a couple of blowouts. You knew teams were thinking about the Orioles in those terms because, my goodness, you watched it on a nightly basis. It was awful.
They
Or you
couldn't
didn't
hit and they
watch it
couldn't
on a nightly
pitch and they could barely catch. Yes.
So, but those days are over. Now teams are looking at the Orioles, and I'm not saying that everyone's fully believing in them as a juggernaut just yet, but teams are looking at them and saying, boy, they've got a lot of young talent. And I mean, everyone knows about Rutschman. You made mention of Cedric Mullins. And I'm working on this, going to write about this at BaltimorePositive.com. I think Cedric Mullins is such a great, even though Rutschman is the face of the franchise, and I don't think anyone would argue that, being 1-1 and the start of the Elias era and everything. But you look at where Cedric Mullins, when he arrived, it was the end of Adam Jones and Buck Showalter, and Machado had just been traded a couple weeks before that. And you see where he was at that point. We remember some of the trials he went through. I mean, this was a guy who was demoted to double A. He struggled so badly in 19 and worked his way
And
back
by
to the
the way, I
majors.
heard Ryan Ripken speak on Thursday. I want to give a plug to Ryan Ripken because he was unbelievably good on Thursday. He talked about that. He talked about meeting Cedric Mullins at the bottom of the bottom and how bad that was for him. And now he looks up and this guy's in the big leagues doing what he's doing. And Ryan's on a stage at a Connects event on Thursday talking about his career being over at 29, right? That the difference in the trajectory for how Cedric Mullins easily could have been forgotten, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And not just that, but he was an all-star 2 years ago. And mind you, even though that was a bad team, he was a legit all-star. He went 30-30 2 years ago. And for him to do what he has done this year, you saw him hit for the cycle a couple Fridays ago and five hits on Sunday. I mean, he is really, he's kind of the engine, the catalyst for this team. And that's kind of an easy thing to say about a guy who's a leadoff hitter for you. But whether it's his defense, whether it's his speed, whether it's what he does with the bat, I mean, he's really, really important to their success. And I think he's such a great symbol of what this rebuild was. And look, not everything went perfectly. And I mean, start with COVID and how disruptive that was to a full minor league season for a team that was rebuilding and had all these young players you wanted to get experience for. But he worked his way back, didn't just get back to the majors and stick, but has become such a good player over the last few years. And it's special. And to see him, to see some of these guys like an Austin Hayes, who were here from the very beginning, and who are still part of this now, and even if they're not the very best players on the team, it's pretty cool to see that and to see where they are now compared to where they were 5 years ago. Sunday in Toronto was a great reminder of just how fun this thing has become and how good this ball club is becoming.
Luke Jones is here. I'm choking to death, but it's okay. We'll be back. We'll talk some football around here all week. We're going to be at the local on Tuesday in Falston doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We'll remind everybody, Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. It's the last week of 0% financing for 5 years. Just a reminder, buy two, get two free. It's the best deal going. If you're going to get windows, you've been putting it off, call them this week. Call them before Memorial Day. Take care of that. Luke will be easy to call all week long. He's at Luke at WNST.net, also at Baltimore. Luke, Dennis will be here on Thursday. Any breaking news you get first on the WNST text service provided by our friends at Coons, Baltimore Ford. I got some Rofo coffee in my Cole Roofing mug. I am ready for summer. I'm ready for Memorial Day. I'm ready for the Orioles to go to New York. I'm ready for the Orioles to get home this weekend. And, of course, OTAs ahead. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.